the games that do the best.
God damn, these fucking Mexicans ruining my fucking show!
Anyway. He's got the leaf blower out now.
What the fuck?
I think they hurt you in this.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Monday Money. I'm your host, Halsey English, with my co-host, Turd Flinging Monkey. You know about the sponsors. Please visit them, The Dollhouse, NashvilleCalifornia.com, RocketHeater.com. Mention my name, get a discount, all that good stuff. TFM, how you doing today, man?
I'm better than I deserve.
I would second that motion.
So, okay, let's just jump into it.
Go for it.
So, all right, so here's the thing. Like, I know we didn't talk about money last week, so let's make up for it. It took me a while. Well, let me back up a bit. When something happens, you don't necessarily conclude it's a trend or a pattern. It needs to happen a couple times.
Yeah, it has to be repeatable usually.
Yeah, so the first time something happens, it's just an event. Second time, it's a coincidence. Third time, it's a pattern. We now have a pattern. I can conclusively say we have a pattern. But before I explain what's going on, if you notice the markets, the markets are down across the board, which really makes no sense, especially when you consider the overall broader macroeconomic situation. So in case you forgot, last Tuesday, so literally like almost a week ago, the June inflation data came out. It came out really high.
It was bad, yeah. Like,
it was 5.6% year over year, 0.9% month over month. Now, if you remember, like 2 months ago in May, there was we had inflation of like 0.7, and people were flipping their shit. But then the next month, it was 0.6. Now, people thought, oh, okay, we've peaked. We can all calm down, which is stupid. So here's a way to explain why that's stupid. I want you to imagine something costs a dollar. And then it costs $1.25. Well, that's 25% inflation. Now, the next month, it costs $1.50. That's a 20% increase from the previous month. It went from 125 to 150. But it went from a 25% increase the last month to a 20% increase the next month. So depending on how you want to look at it, well, you can look at it as something that costs a dollar, went from 1 to 125 to 150, or it went from a 25% increase last month to a 20% increase this month. Therefore, the rate of increase is going down, which is a good thing. And that's what the media did last month. They played up the lower rate of increase over the previous month to declare that we'd peaked and that inflation was going down.
Just so you know, that's how the mayors do crime statistics too. That's why they go, we're on a downward trend, because the previous month it was up 25%, and then the next month it was down, it was up 20%.
So last month, the inflation data came out about a week before the Fed met, and the media successfully downplayed or straight up ignored the inflation data, declaring it good news, tech was going up, everyone was happy. Then the Fed came out about a week later and said that they were moving the dot plots like a year up. So they were saying that they weren't going to raise interest rates till like 2024. And then they decided like just maybe 2023, and everybody flipped their shit, even though it's still 2021 and it's like that's 2 years in the future, but everyone flipped their shit anyway. And the markets crashed like 10%, like everything was down. Now, that happened on a Thursday. So Thursday and Friday, the markets were flipping their shit. But then by Monday, everything rallied back. And the reason why it rallied back was because the reason why these crashes keep happening is because let me explain the psychology behind it. The market is expecting the Fed to raise interest rates to deal with the inflation. They know that if the Fed raises interest rates, it will cause the market to crash. So they're selling out of equities and they're buying bonds, because when stocks go down, bonds go up. In fact, if you look at the different asset classes, bonds are doing well. Like, I think long-term bonds are up 3.5%, whereas all these other asset classes were in the shitter, especially the inflationary sector. So we had Last week we had a report that we've had like the worst inflation in over almost 15 years. And if you look at core inflation, it's the worst in 30 years. If you don't know what core inflation is, that's removing food and energy. Removing food and energy, we have the worst inflation in 30 years. So it's fucking bad. Now, why in an environment where we have the worst inflation in 30 years would commodities take a shit? And why would bonds go up? Bonds are the worst thing to have under inflation, because bonds pay interest based on the fiat currency. And if the fiat currency is losing value, you're basically giving so it's like when you take out a loan and they pay you back, or a reverse loan, which is what a bond is, the money they're paying you back is worth less than the money you gave them. It's literally the worst investment in the world. The only reason why bonds are going up is because everybody's expecting a crash. The VIX was up over like almost 30%. A 30% jump in the VIX in a day is basically like everybody shitting their pants. Like they're like terrified. They're like in the fetal position, you know, doing like the just like crying and shit like that. They're like, it's crazy. All right. That's what's going on. There's nothing, absolutely nothing economically behind what's going on. Like bad inflation does not translate into oil taking a shit, precious metals taking a shit. Like that makes no sense. If there's inflation, commodities actually historically and intuitively are your best investment during inflation.
Yeah, but you're leaving out one point, and that's okay. That if you believe everything is taking a shit, the bond market is the safest investment that you can have. So because the chances of the bonds not being paid off are basically nil. So
it's not just that. Well, no, people are not buying bonds because they want to hold the bonds to maturity.
I know.
They're buying the bonds strictly because they are expecting a market crash. And so there's two things you can do when you're expecting a market crash. You can cash out and you can hold your cash, or you could buy bonds. Bonds, because they go up. When stocks go down, bonds go up and vice versa. Buying bonds is actually a better play than just holding cash. You'll have to sell out of your bonds to rotate back into stocks, but you'll be making interest. It's like almost as it's similarly, not quite the same, but it's like buying a what's not a put. What am I thinking of? It's like shorting the market. When you're buying bonds, you're effectively shorting the stock market, because when stocks go down, bonds go up. The problem with shorting is because any kind of leveraged investment, there's a lot of risk that if you're wrong, you can get a margin call and go bankrupt. Whereas if you buy bonds, you might lose money, but you'll only lose your initial investment in a worst case scenario. So buying bonds to hedge against a stock market collapse is basically a poor man's shorting. And it's actually a lot less risky. Here's my point, though. Nobody's buying the bonds because they think they're a good investment. They're buying the bonds temporarily to hedge against what they perceive to be an imminent stock market crash. Now, here's where my hypothesis comes in. You need to understand a couple things. Number one, the market is being completely manipulated by the Fed both ways, coming and going. It's not just that the Fed is printing money and manipulating the interest rate. They're also using reverse repo to pull equity out of the banking system. So the Fed is manipulating things coming and going both ways. The market, there's no market anymore. There is no market. The market is basically just the government and the Fed trying to bail themselves out. And we're all just kind of along for the ride. So the best way to anticipate what's happening and what's coming in order to profit from it, you need to ask yourself, what is the government's plan? What are they trying to do? What's their goal?
Or is there a lack of thereof?
Oh, no, there's a plan.
Before you keep going, real quick, I got a compliment for you. Butt World Man for $3 wanted to thank TFM for his monkey market insights. Sold VOO to get bonds today, but as soon as it clears, I'm going balls deep into VDE. One does simply defy the laws of economics, maybe. Also, fuck the Fed.
Yeah, definitely, like, anyone buying bonds and holding bonds expecting to make money is fucking stupid. Bonds are a terrible investment when you're facing inflation. But right now, the Fed is playing, and this is the third month in a row. This is why we now have a pattern. This isn't just a one and done kind of, because when it happened last month, it made no goddamn sense. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Who the fuck is selling gold? Why is gold and oil crashing? with when we have high inflation. That makes no goddamn sense. And then it happened again this month, except it happened even worse. And I'm like, okay, mother, okay, I see what's going on. I see you, you dipshits. Like, you thought you could fucking pull one over on me. So let me explain what's going on. Let me explain the reasoning why I can be so confident in this. The Fed is manipulating the entire market on behalf of the government. The government and the Fed are basically, it's like you're playing a game with a kid who's constantly changing the rules so that they win. That's what the Fed and the government are doing. So if you want to win, and I've said this all the time, you know, if you want to learn, you got to learn the rules to win the game. So the way to learn the rules and win the game is you need to think about what you got to do, like Sun Tzu. You got to know your enemy and know yourself. You need to know what the government's trying to do and how they're trying to get there. And you need to align yourself to profit from those moves, because that's what's going to happen. It'd be one thing if we had a free market, because if the Fed was more hands off and let the market do its thing, we'd have to look at things like economic indicators. But when we have
we're so far from that at this point. We're not in any way, shape, or form in a free market.
This is why I used to use a sector rotation chart. Mm-hmm. And it's still somewhat valid. It's based on interest rates and inflation rates. The problem is now that the Fed is manipulating the money supply indirectly using the reverse repo. Usually the way the Fed affects inflation is by raising interest rates. So basically there's a crash. The Fed lowers interest rates and starts stimulating the economy with printed money. This is good for growth sectors. But then the economy heats up, inflation starts to take off. The Fed has to raise interest rates to deal with the inflation. That causes certain sectors to fall out of favor and other sectors to fall into favor. And then eventually the economy starts to cool down. You start moving into defensive sectors until there's another crash. Lather, rinse, repeat. That's how the credit cycle has always worked. Now the Fed has a new tool. Right now we're in the middle of a recovery. A recovery which really isn't a recovery because we're not producing anything. It's all being funded with printed money and stimulus and government takeovers and bullshit. So the entire market is completely artificial. I've heard it's called the milkshake theory. Like if you take a milkshake and you put it in the machine and it froths, it makes it look like it's bigger than it is. Like you ever go to a soda machine that was too foamy? And you fill up your cup and it's full of foam. But then when you let the foam settle, the cup's only half full. And then sure. You have to fill it up again. Yeah, like that's basically the economy. The government and the Fed are frothing the economy to make it look bigger than it is. Now, you can profit from this, which is what I'm trying to do. But it's really difficult because, see, normally the difference between investing in the stock market and the difference between speculating in things like, you know, crypto or NFTs or something, is there's no economic indicators at all that you can possibly use to predict the movement in something like cryptocurrency, because there is enough data. There's nothing really behind it. It's basically just momentum and technicals. Whereas when you have large, you know, economic sectors, you can use economic indicators. You can use your understanding of inflation and interest rates to basically get ahead of the curve and profit from moves, which is how you make money. So it's much more reliable. Anyway, so what is the government trying to do? This is key. The government needs to keep inflation. Like the Fed has said this multiple times. Like when the Fed talks, listen, they might be lying to you, but they're not lying. Like they're lying to you because they're lying to you for your own good. If the Fed was completely transparent and honest with the American people, the economy would collapse. Remember with COVID, where everyone was buying all the toilet paper? Or an even better example is when there was supposed to be a gas shortage and people were filling up fucking laundry baskets and trash bags with gasoline and causing explosions in their car because they were lighting up cigarettes with like plastic totes full of gasoline in the back of their car. That's how fucking stupid people are. So you can't tell them the truth because they're fucking stupid and they'll do shit like blow their car up by filling their – and here's the best part. That whole gas shortage thing wasn't even real.
No, it was literally just a response to that cyber attack, and that right. was 2 days.
Well, no, there was a cyber. So here's the thing: the cyber attack happened, and the pipeline was shut down. They had already coordinated trucks to make sure that everybody got their quota, so that there was actually no supply shortage. They used trucks to offset the pipeline, and yet there was still a gas shortage. Well, if there was no supply shortage, why was there a gas shortage? It's because people were filling up fucking totes full of gasoline and blowing their cars up because they were panicking because they thought there would be a gas shortage. So they caused the gas shortage. And this is why, look, say what you want about the Fed lying and this, that, and the other. They have to. If they don't lie, they will cause the very crash and the very panic they're trying to avoid. There's simply no way to get the American people up to speed on what's going on without people freaking out and causing the very – and then if they cause a panic and a crash, well, then the Fed, everything is fucked. Like, the entire reason they're doing this is they're trying to they are trying to get the economy back on its feet. They're not lying about that. So they can't cause a panic and a crash, but the Fed is basically trying to thread a very delicate needle, or to use another analogy, they're trying to spin multiple plates. It's probably not going to work, but they're doing their level best, and they're not bad people. They're just being put in a really bad situation because of universal suffrage and people wanting free shit and causing all the problems the government is trying to respond to without causing them to panic and riot. So here's what the government needs to do. The government needs to cause inflation. The Fed has openly said their goal is to cause inflation. However, as inflation has been getting worse and worse, this idea of it being transitory and it being only 2%, that's clearly going away. In fact, the Fed has been updating their language that they said they're willing to accept substantially higher than 2% inflation in the short term. Let me tell you, I'll fucking rip the bandaid off. So I assume this audience isn't as dumb as the people filling totes up with gasoline at the gas station. I trust people listening aren't that fucking stupid. So let me tell you what's actually going on. The Fed can't raise interest rates at all. The reason why they can't raise interest rates is because the government has a bunch of bonds they need to roll over constantly. If they raise interest rates and these bonds roll over, then the government owes a lot more interest to their bondholders. They don't want that to happen. They need to keep interest rates low so the government can roll their bonds over. Preferably, they want to keep the idea is the sweet spot they're shooting for is they want the bond yields to be as low as possible while the inflation is as high as possible. The reason why that's a good thing is because the lower the bond yields are, the less the government has to pay on its debt. And the more inflation there is, the more debt the government can retire. It's literally the only chance America has, not just America, the entire Western world. Because we can't take women's rights away and get our fertility rate up. We can't import people from Africa and the Middle East to be workers. They just go on killing sprees and rape kids. They don't actually do the work and pay the taxes like they were supposed to. So there really is no other option than this, basically this Hail Mary play to try to retire the debt. But it requires, see, if the Fed told America, we're going to cause inflation and we're going to keep bond yields low. Well, if people knew inflation was here to stay and it was just going to get worse and worse, people would immediately abandon bonds and they would just buy commodities. It would basically create a panic in raw materials and real assets. Which is, remember, the toilet paper panic and the gasoline shortage panic. Imagine that, but for basically all real assets. There'd just be runs on everything as people frantically buy everything, and that would cause the very crash and panic they're trying to avoid. So they can't tell people that. They have to make them think that at any time they could raise interest rates. We were really thinking about it, but then at the same time, they have to give themselves an out. Why they can't raise interest rates, because they can't actually raise interest rates. Now, when inflation was, you know, around 2 to 5%, the argument could be, well, you know, we're still in the middle of a recovery. We can't raise interest rates. That would be premature. Now that we're looking at closer to 10% inflation, like 5 to 8, we're getting closer to like 6 to 8%. Now, I predicted earlier it was going to be between 5 and 10, and I still hold to that. We're going to have between 5 and 10% inflation, which in a single year is bad, especially given the recent history. Like, we've had deflation for years. Most of that's due to outsourcing. And basically, the way the CPI works, the things we can import constantly go down. So we import electronics, we import clothing, we import pharmaceuticals. Those get cheaper with time. The things we can't import, things like healthcare and education, get incredibly expensive because of inflation. So, but the overall CPI mostly factors in goods which can be imported. So on paper, the cost of living has been getting cheaper with time. In reality, though, because of the industries cannot be imported from China, the cost of living, especially in regards to education and healthcare, has become much more expensive. That's neither here nor there. The point is, though, The Fed needs to cause as much inflation as possible while keeping bond yields low. That only happens if people fear crashes, because that's why people are running to bonds. They're not running to bonds because they think bonds are a good investment for inflation. They're running to bonds because they're afraid the Fed is going to raise interest rates in response to this inflation, and they're going to cause a market crash. So what's going on in the market right now? Inflation data came out. It was bad. The Fed is meeting next week. So basically from – it's kind of stupid. So last month, it was kind of weird because there was inflation data and the media ignored it. And then when the Fed met and talked about moving up the rate expectations from 2024 to 2023, the market crashed for 2 days, Thursday and Friday. And then on Monday, it recovered because there wasn't going to be a rate hike. But the second people realize there's never going to be a rate hike, that's when basically the Fed has to maintain the illusion that there could potentially be a rate hike to keep people buying bonds and to keep inflation not necessarily low, but like lower. Like if there was a run on commodities, which is what I'm preparing for, that would be terrible for the Fed's perspective because that would cause runaway inflation. They do not want hyperinflation. They also don't want to crash the market. Crashing the market would cause, because we're in the middle of a recovery now. We're still in Biden's first year in office. The Fed does not. Oh, did the stream go down?
No.
Or did my internet go down?
I was just saying, no shit. Like this is only year one of Biden.
Right. So we're in year one of the Biden administration. We're in the middle of a recovery from COVID. So if we crash the economy now, then we're basically, and also interest rates are already near zero. We've already printed $10 trillion. If we go into another recession, another crash, another massive, you know, lockdown or something, the Fed doesn't have any more tools other than like negative interest rates, which would actually kind of really fuck the financial system.
I mean, you're leaving out a very, very, very big factor, though.
What's that?
Interest rates are near zero right now. And what they're encouraging everyone to do in anticipation of a lower value of the dollar is they're encouraging people to begin exporting, because that's what you do when the dollar's down is you increase exports, especially if it's down for an extended period. Imports become more expensive, exports become more realistic. And they want to create on paper jobs that are paying really well. Remember the push for 15 and all of that? If you hired someone at $15 an hour right now, it might as well be minimum wage. But a whole bunch of people don't see it that way. A whole bunch of people, oh, now I'm making $15 an hour. They're encouraging businesses to buy as much real estate as possible. And they're going to keep it that way until industry starts coming back to some extent so they can boast about it. Because confidence is everything. And increased job numbers, increased business exports, stuff like that, it goes into the numbers and it increases confidence.
Well, it's because people are really fucking stupid. So if, like, for example, if your house goes up 10%, but inflation is 15%, you're still happy. Now, you're poor. You know, like if you get a raise at work, but it's less than the rate of inflation and you can actually buy less stuff than you could before, you're still happy because you got a raise. That's just human nature.
Well, it's human nature, but you're not necessarily retarded if you think that, because even if inflation was 15%, your house went up 10%, the amount of money you're paying back on your debt to buy that house, your dollar is going further. So there is transitory, there is tertiary effects of sure. higher home value, even at the rate of inflation.
Yeah, if you're a debtor, which again, the government is the biggest debtor, debtors benefit from inflation, which is literally why the government is doing this. If the government wasn't in so much debt, it wouldn't try to cause inflation. Like if you have deflation in your economy and the cost of living is getting cheaper and people are buying more stuff and they're being more productive, that's a good thing. There's no reason to be like, wait a minute, this is too much. We need inflation. You wouldn't ever say that. The only reason why the government needs inflation is because they're trying to inflate away their own debt. The government owes a lot of money. Now, I do want to make this one caveat. The government can never default on its debt because the government issues bonds in its own currency. So any country that issues bonds in its own currency, if they can always print the money and pay off their bonds. So they'll never default on their loan. But the question is, you know, if they have to print the money to pay off their debts, that's just going to cause inflation. That's literally what the Weimar Republic did. They had these, basically they had, after World War One, the Treaty of Versailles made Germany give restitution to the Allies. And so the Germans, they had to sign this document. They had to agree to give this restitution. And so all they could do is print the money and give it to them. Well, all these people got all this German money. What are you going to do with it? They went into Germany and they bought everything that wasn't nailed down with all this printed money. And it caused hyperinflation. That's, and now the interesting thing, this is why I say, like, people who are freaking out and expecting like the end of the world, they're kind of dumb. So the Weimar Republic lasted 9 years before the hyperinflation took out the country.
Yeah, but look what happened. Like, 9 years. At the end of that 9 years, that was pretty catastrophic.
No, but my point is, if you look at the stock market in the Weimar Republic during those 9 years, it was going straight up. Now, it's because of the, there was bad inflation. I mean, a lot of countries have bad inflation. So, like, I'm saying we have a window. Now, this is something I talk about a lot. We have a window where we can profit from this market. We can profit from what's going on. Hopefully get a pile of money together and do something to save ourselves. But if you just want to like make your pile of money and you want to sit on your ass and pick your butthole and you think, you know, you're going to go retire and you're going to live the American dream, you're fucking stupid. Like, this is, we're coming toward the end of a system. It's the welfare state. That's the problem. The people want all this free shit. They don't want to pay for it. They don't want, no one wants to have their taxes raised. They don't want spending cut. That's why we got off the gold standard in the first place, is the welfare state was too expensive and it couldn't be paid for. And Richard Nixon knew if he cut spending, he wouldn't get reelected. So in lieu of cutting spending to keep the welfare state going, he just abandoned the gold standard. Now, the difference between the 1970s and now, in the 1970s, we had stagflation until Paul Volcker came in to, he had to raise interest rates to over 10% to stop the stagflation of the 70s. The government can't do that anymore because we have so much debt that we didn't have in the 70s that we can't just raise interest rates. We would bankrupt ourselves. Now, again, we can pay off our debts. Like, no matter how bad interest rates get, we can always just issue more currency to pay off our bonds. We won't default. But if we have to pay, we have to manage inflation. If we have a run, if we have runaway interest rates and we have to roll over these bonds and we have to pay out all this currency and fiat to keep our, keep us from defaulting, that's going to turn us into the Weimar Republic, where we're,
well, the reason is because sooner or later, no one will buy more. That's the issue. Like, you could keep paying off the bonds in your own currency, but they won't be worth fuck all, and then eventually no one will buy anymore.
Well, but then you also, the people who are being given all these dollars, they're going to turn around and immediately buy things that are actually going to appreciate in value, like real estate and raw materials and real assets. So you're going to turn into, there's going to be massive competition for real assets, which is going to cause massive asset inflation. And asset inflation always comes first when it comes to real inflation. So you're already seeing that. Now, what the Fed is trying
to do, but right now we're in the sweet spot for asset inflation. Because even if you're paying overpaying for real estate or for metals or for anything like that, inflation is going to make that a good bet if your interest rates are nothing. So
we haven't begun. Right, again, we're only, 7 months into Biden's first year?
But I'm saying, I just wanted to interject into what you were saying, is that if you want, like you were saying, if you want to just sit back and do nothing and pick your butthole and whatever, like, you can do that right now, but you've got to move and you've got to do it smartly, in that you can buy 10 houses right now if you've got the credit, right? And it's a fucking winner's bet right now because of the interest rates. So every single time you see the inflation tick up, if you lock in a 30-year interest rate on properties, you're fucking golden right now. The issue is you got to pay those bills. And it, no matter, like, it's still never going to be free. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to ever see hyperinflation like they did in Venezuela, where all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh shit, my mortgage payment's only $1,000, and $1,000 only fucking buys a pack of gum now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be almost wishful thinking, and it wouldn't matter because you'd be starving to death with all of your houses. But I'm just saying that right now, and they're encouraging this, and I don't fault anyone who's taking advantage for it. If you can go into debt right now at the right interest rate, do it.
Eventually, like, we could end up like Venezuela, because what I'm predicting, well, there's different paths we can go down. Let me get to this. So let me explain. First of all, the market.
Before you get into it, can I just read the super chats real quick?
Go ahead.
So I've got, what are your thoughts on Vanguard Wellington, 65 equities, 35% bonds, thinking of doing 50-50 with Vanguard Wellies B, which is 35% equity, 65% bonds, so splitting assets between the two. If you want to answer that, you can, but we can just wait till later.
I do sector-based ETFs. The reason why is I have complete control over my allocation in whatever asset classes I want to buy. If I want to buy, you know, materials, I can adjust. The problem with mutual funds is you're trusting the fund manager to do the allocation, which is fine. Like, for most people, you know, who don't know what they're doing, like, it's so easy to fuck up if you don't know what you're doing. And you can even know what you're doing and still lose money in the short term. Like, I'm getting crushed right now because of energy taking a shit. Now, I'm extremely confident that that's going to turn around probably in either this week or next week. Definitely next week, possibly this week, and I'll explain why later. But in the short run, I'm getting crushed, and I'm getting all kinds of phone calls and all kinds of angry emails from people who trust me who are very pissed off, and I'm trying to talk them down from the ledge. So it sucks. It sucks. Even when you're right, because we live in a very manipulated market. Regarding the portfolios, though, if you don't know what you're doing, a mutual fund is good, but here's what I would recommend doing. If you don't know what you're doing, the best thing you can do, and I'm talking keeping your fees to an absolute minimum, is just get an S&P 500 index. The S&P 500 index has, like, no fees, no expenses, no manager. You're not paying anyone to manage shit. You're just buying the index. And it's as passive as you can get. And because it's 100% stock, because if you're young, you want to be in 100% stock. You don't need to own bonds. Bonds are a play when you're preparing for a crash, but you shouldn't be owning bonds long-term because they're dog shit, especially with inflation. The only use for bonds, I'll tell you the one use for bonds. When you're within 10 years of retirement, you should diversify into bonds because you're going to be slowly selling out of your stock portfolio over the next 10 years as you prepare for retirement. And if there's a crash, you don't want to have to be forced to sell during a crash, because then you're fucked. So the bonds will offset your losses if there's a crash. So, but that's only because you're retiring and you have to sell because you have to spend the money. But if you're not retiring and you don't have to sell, there's no reason to own bonds, because even if there is a crash, you could just ride it back up. And over the long term, you should be fine. Now, regarding what the economy is doing, again, even with the Weimar Republic, the stock market took off like a fucking rocket during those 9 years. I mean, look it up. Open up a tab. Look up the Weimar Republic. The parabolic vertical move of the stock market during that 9 year period. Now, it did crash, and it crashed like a motherfucker. But during those 9 years, it went fucking straight up. So we do have a window, even if there is a short-term crash. But going back to the original thing we're talking about, the Fed does not want a crash. Because the Fed doesn't have any tools left to deal with a crash. We're still in the middle of a recovery. So it's like we're in the middle of a recovery. If there's another crash during recovery, the Fed already has interest rates near zero. There's already trillions of dollars of spending happening. So it's – and then – if the inflation is causing the crash, like if fears of inflation are causing the crash, then what can the Fed do other than print more money and do more stimulus, which will just cause more inflation? Then you get into a death spiral. So they don't want that. So the people buying bonds expecting there's an imminent market crash are stupid. Well, they're not stupid. They're just not – they're not paying attention to the government's goal, because this is something I can't remember the guy's name. It's not the current Fed, and it's not Yellen. It's an older guy, Bernanke. I think it was Ben Bernanke.
Ben Bernanke?
Yeah, he was given a speech. Not a speech. He was on a talk show, and they were playing back sound clips of him before the housing collapse in 2008, where he was saying that Lehman Brothers was fine. We have we have the subprime contained. It's not gonna infect the rest of the economy. Everything's fine. And they're playing back these clips, and they were like, "What do you think about this? You were completely wrong." And he just admitted that he knew he was wrong at the time. He had to lie to the American people because he was part of the administration. And he admitted this. The Fed is like the idea that the Fed is an independent, non-governmental agency is a fucking lie. It's not. It's definitely part of the government, part of the administration. It's completely on board, hand in glove with the government. They're working together. And the Fed's primary job right now is to bail the government out. They need to keep inflation high. They need to keep bond yields low to bail the government out. Now, nothing is free. There are consequences for what the Fed is doing, even using the reverse repo. There's nothing the Fed can do to create free money. There's always someone always has to pay for it. So, but the people buying bonds now and shorting the market and crashing everything, this is the third month in a row they've done this, and it's been getting worse. So in May, we had inflation of 0.7, and there was like a minor correction. And then last month in June, we had a 10% correction, and now we have a 15% correction. And it's for the same reason. Inflation data came out, people shit their pants, and then they're the only thing what will reverse this is when the Fed does its monthly thing and comes out and says inflation's transitory, calm the fuck down, we're not raising interest rates. Then people say, oh, they're not raising interest rates, everyone, and then you'll see everything roar back. And people jump right back into the market. Now, I'm kind of kicking myself in the ass because I'm basically all in the inflationary sectors, so I can't take advantage of this swing. I do have a strategy to take advantage of the swing in the future. Now that it's been established as a pattern, I can go over that in a minute. But I just want to point out that this is absolutely 100% temporary because of basic fucking economics. There is no way bonds are going to be the asset class of the year with inflation this high and bond rates being near zero. It makes no sense. It's a temporary move by people fearing a crash. This is the third month in a row they've done this, where people expect the Fed to raise interest rates because of the out of control inflation. Then like a week later, the Fed will come out and say, we're not raising interest rates. Inflation's transitory, calm down, blah, blah, blah. And then people say, oh, okay, you're not raising interest rates. And then we go back to hitting all-time highs. And then like about a month later, more inflation data comes out. Oh my God, it's so high. And everybody panics and expects the Fed to raise interest rates. Now, this is ultimately what the Fed wants. The Fed wants to keep people on their toes. They don't want people to suspect they're never going to raise interest rates because then the game's over. But they can't raise interest rates either. They have to constantly tease and bluff that they're going to raise interest rates, but without actually raising interest rates. Or if they do raise interest rates, it'll be like a fraction of a percent. They'll go from a federal funds rate of 0.25 to 0.5, which will mean nothing. If you want to tame inflation, you have to raise interest rates above inflation. So if inflation is 5% and you raise the interest rate from 0.25 to 0.5, that's meaningless. You have to raise it to at least the inflation rate if you actually want to deal with the inflation. But they can't. They can't raise it to the inflation rate. They actually want to cause inflation. So that's number one. Now, regarding the federal funds rate, the reverse repo, what this will do is it's going to dry up liquidity, and it's going to cause you're seeing this right now. Companies are borrowing money and they're issuing bonds because the interest rate on treasury securities are dog shit. And so people who need fixed income, people who need like more stable investments, i.e. not stock, they're buying corporate bonds because they're the only way to make a decent return when it comes to any kind of thing. And then what they're doing is they're just buying their stock back. So they're borrowing money from the Fed, issuing their own bonds to fixed income investors, and then buying their own stock back with the money. So there's no production, there's no investment, there's no growth happening. Everyone's just using the free money to basically build up their nest egg. Everyone's anticipating a big move, and they're not wrong either. Like, shit's going to get real anyway. So for those of you freaking out and worried, like, oh my God, the energy's down, TFM, what's happening? What, you don't know what you're talking about. You're so wrong. No, I promise you I'm not. This is just like, for whatever reason, in June, the media downplayed inflation, and then the next week when the Fed had their meeting, we only had 2 days of panicking before people calmed down and realized the Fed wasn't raising interest rates. This month, because inflation was the worst in 30 years, the media couldn't, either they couldn't or they didn't choose to downplay it. And so people started panicking a week early. So we had the inflation data came out on Tuesday. We had the entire last week people panicking. And now we have today's Monday. Now we have this week of people panicking. The Fed is actually meeting this week, but they won't come out and have their little talk and give their speeches and everything until next week. So this could potentially go on for another week. But I don't know how, I really don't think, like at some point, people are going to be like, wait a minute. Oil should not be this cheap if inflation is this high. It's retarded. Like there's gonna be someone going like, wait a fucking minute. Like I understand people are panicking, but some people could be like, this makes no goddamn sense. So I don't think it's gonna go that much lower. It's probably going to bottom out and kind of be stable. But after the Fed inevitably for the third time in a row announces that inflation is transitory, there's not gonna be any rate hikes, you're gonna see everything screaming back to all-time highs. Until the next inflation data comes out and everyone starts panicking again. And this is deliberate. The Fed has to keep people on their toes because the more scared they are of a crash, the more they run to bonds, which is benefiting the government. Now, here's where this particular situation comes in. The other thing the Fed's doing is, so the Fed, Jerome Powell, he was giving he appeared in Congress like last week, and he was being grilled by congressmen that they weren't doing enough to combat inflation. Like the people are mad. The people are noticing shit's getting expensive. They're noticing that housing is becoming more like, even though rates are nothing, the price of housing is becoming so high that even if they get a good rate, they can't even afford the payment because they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars more for the same house. So people are pissed off. People are crying to the government as one does. And the government in turn is, you know, doing some political theater, yelling at Jerome Powell as one does. So now the Fed has to basically do another trick. This is where this particular incident comes in. So if the Fed says inflation is transitory, calm the fuck down, you spoiled children, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Oh, my money, my pay, it's all bad. You need to deal with inflation. It's hurting me. However, what this week of this market panic, stocks tanking, everything tanking does, it reminds the people, the stupid people, everything's political theater. It reminds the people that, wait a minute, we can't raise interest rates. Look how vulnerable the economy is. If we raise interest rates now, we're going to crash the economy. We're going to go back into recession. We can't have that. Now, the Fed could say that, but, you know, I would say that, like, the entire market taking a shit for literally no reason. Like, so inflation's bad. You should be buying things that go up with inflation. If inflation is bad, you should be buying, not selling. In fact, the sectors that are doing the worst are the very sectors you should be buying. Now, why is that happening? Because everyone's expecting a crash. They're expecting a crash because they're expecting rates to go up. So if they're expecting rates to go up, ironically, and probably this is probably, again, it's all manipulated. I don't believe in coincidences. So you have the market tanking right before the Fed meeting after the worst inflation in 30 years, as congressmen and the people are demanding the Fed deal with the inflation and raise interest rates. However, because of this crash, this correction, whatever you want to call it, I think it's like whatever's between a crash and a correction, because we've already passed like 10%. So now the people are going to be like, oh, we can't raise interest rates. And the Fed has already said, I said this, they literally said this when the inflation data came out last week, that they're willing to accept higher than 2%. You know, they're keeping an eye on it. But, you know, like, so the Fed is going to let inflation go. They're not going to raise interest rate. But the people want them to raise interest rates because the inflation is hurting them. So if you were the Fed, if you were the government, if you had the power to manipulate the market, how would you shut the people up so that they'll go along with the high inflation? The answer is you don't crash the market. They don't want the market to crash. But you do exactly what's happening right now. You let the market slide 10%, 15%. Just to remind people, things are sensitive, things are vulnerable, things are fragile. We can't raise interest rates. We would crash the economy. We go back into recession. We need the Fed to not only keep the money printing going, keep the asset purchases going, but we do not want them raising interest rates at all. So accepting the high inflation is the lesser evil than combating the inflation and going back into recession. And that is what is happening right now. That's my hypothesis. And the reason why I'm going with that is because it makes too much sense. It checks all the boxes and it gets the government exactly what they want. So unless I see contrary evidence, I'm going to go with that's what's going on.
I mean, I don't doubt anything that you've just said. I just, as I said, I think there's just a bit more to it, but I think that there's definitely money that could be made right now.
All right, let's go over how to make money. All right, so I call this the VDE EDV seesaw. So here is a chart. Let me move this up. So if you look at you can see June and, can you see both June and July at the same time?
Yep.
Okay. So the VDE is in purple, and you can't really read it. So VOO is the dark blue, VDE, which is the energy ETF, is purple, and EDV is the light blue. I'm sorry if it's a little bit hard to read. That's just the colors I happened to choose when I made this chart. Now, VDE is the energy sector. EDV is long-term bonds. Now, here's what's very, very telling. They're basically inversely correlated. When energy spikes, long-term bonds tank, and then vice versa. So you see in June, you saw long-term bonds. This actually happened right when the Fed had their little meeting, and there was a big commodities crash. You can see that in June. If you go look at the bottom chart, you can see long-term bonds spike at the exact same time that energy crashed. And then you can see later on, you can see energy took off and then the long-term bonds crashed. And then you see just like about a couple days later, you see another small move where the long-term bonds crash as energy goes up. And then you move into July, you see the same crossover where energy goes up and long-term bonds go down. And then you also see, this is the recent one, the energy completely crashed and you see long-term bonds going up. And if you look at the market today, like I made this chart last week, if you look at the market today, long-term bonds were up 3.5%, while energy was down almost 5%. So we're still seeing that exact same thing play out. So now here's what's interesting. We know when these inflation reports come out. We know when the Fed has their meeting. They publish a schedule. Now, for the first two times this happened, I couldn't establish the pattern. Because something happens, okay, something happened. It happens twice. Now, that could be coincidence. Now that it's happened three times in a row, I can say this is a pattern. So what I'm going to do is what I call the VDE EDV seesaw. Right before inflation data is released, I'm going to fucking sell out of all my commodities and go into long-term bonds. And then after the inflation data is released and everybody starts panicking, oh my God, the Fed's going to raise interest rates, unexpected inflation. I'm just going to ride that all the way to the top, watch the commodities tank for the fourth time in a row. And then when things are settling down and after and then right before the Fed, you have to time this. Like normally market timing is impossible because you never know what event is going to precipitate a move. But when it comes to this, it's actually very, very possible because you know when the Fed's going to release statements, you know when inflation data is going to be released. You're basically betting on whether it's going to be good or bad news. But again, the government wants inflation. The government wants these things to happen. So once
they
you understand
need them to happen, not just want it, they need
well,
it.
Well, yeah, but once you understand that not only are these events predictable, but the outcome is also predictable because the government, the Fed, can manipulate the market to cause them, it's really not even a bet at all. It's really just you just remembering to set your alarm to do these things before it's too late so you can profit from them. And again, I apologize to people like I didn't figure this out before because I didn't see the pattern before. So right now you just ride the bond market going up during these crashes until the Fed is about to have their meeting. The day the Fed has their meeting and they start talking about, you know, oh, inflation's transitory, everything's fine, we're not going to raise rates, blah, blah, blah. Once that starts happening, then you sell out of your bonds, you get back into commodities, and then those are going to come up. And then you're going to basically, because it's a seesaw, because there's, look at the swings between commodities and these bond rates. So imagine right now, bonds are at plus 3.5%. Oil is down 5%. Imagine making that spread in a week, selling out of bonds at plus 3.5, then buying oil at -5, and then watching that reverse in 1 week. You basically, in just a couple months, you would double your money. And unlike basically any other situation, it's very predictable. Now, there is some risk. I'm not saying it's risk-free, because this is predicated on the belief that the plan is going to work exactly as the Fed wants it to. And again, if the people realize the Fed is simply not going to raise rates ever, like a boy who cried wolf scenario, where the Fed keeps threatening to raise rates if inflation's out of control, but every time inflation comes in above expectations and everyone's anticipating a rate hike, the Fed then comes up with an excuse to move the goalpost, which is what's happening right now. Once people realize that, the Fed will just move the goalpost again, no matter how high the inflation is. So they say we're going to keep it at 2%. Oh, we're at 5%. Oh, shit. They're going to raise rates, guys. And like, oh, well, did I say 2%? I meant, you know, give or take 2%, but 5% is fine. Oh, okay. I guess we're fine. Oh, it's not. It's 0.9. Oh, my God. We're coming up on like 8% inflation of the year. Now the Fed's definitely going to raise rates. Oh, no, we're fine. We're going to let this ride. People are going to be like, wait a minute. You're not going to raise rates under any circumstances, are you? Because every time you say you're going to raise rates, if it gets too hot, and then we have higher than expected inflation. We have the worst inflation in 30 fucking years. And now you're like, oh, no, we're not going to raise rates. Well, what is it going to take for you to raise rates then? If the worst inflation in 30 years isn't enough, what is? Are we going to have to go full Venezuela before you raise interest rates? So if we have a boy who cried wolf scenario, people are going to just straight up fucking abandon bonds. And people are going to go running into anything to basically try to beat inflation. So this is the risk of the seesaw strategy. It's been happening for the last three months. However, it will only work until the people realize it's a trick. Once people realize it's a trick and they stop running to bonds, they stop selling off their commodities, expecting a crash every month. Once they realize this is just a boy who cried wolf and the Fed is not going to raise rates, then unfortunately, this is the risk. So I need you to be very aware, if you're going to do something like this, there's a big risk you're taking, because if there is a boy who cried wolf realization, your bonds are going to be worthless. So if you sold out of all your assets and ran into long-term bonds, anticipating the next wave of panicking and rate hike fears in order to ride that train all the way up to seesaw back into commodities, and people realize it's a boy who cried wolf, and instead of buying bonds, they doubled down on buying commodities because they know the Fed isn't going to raise rates, and you're going to be left holding the bag on these government bonds, which is the absolute worst investment you could have outside of cash. Because the bonds are paying dog shit returns and you're basically holding the bag on all these government bonds, which could eventually happen. I don't know when. So you have to be aware. So anyone wanting to YOLO, just be aware there is a risk of people waking up one day and realizing the Fed is full of shit and no longer fearing rate hikes. And then if you do this strategy and go all in on bonds, you could be left holding the bag. But as long as people are stupid, as long as they believe the shiny box, and normally I'd be like, people are going to eventually wake up. But COVID taught me just how fucking stupid people are, how absolutely fucking drone-like they can be, and how they will follow the shiny box to the end of the earth. So this is relatively safe because you're effectively betting on the stupidity of the American people, that they will just trust what the government tells them forever and ever and ever, and they'll never question it, no matter what their eyes are telling them. But if they ever wake up, you're going to have a bad day if you went all in on bonds. But this is a – so I did come up with this as a strategy that you can use if you're seeing your commodity stocks tanking every month and you're getting sick of basically – instead of you making – because normally if something goes down 5%, you should buy more. But if you're all in – and you're watching, you know, it's going up 10% and then going down 5% and then going up 8% and then going down 3%, you're not really making any money. You're basically just treading water if you average everything out. The only way to make money is to buy, you know, buy low, sell high. So this is a way to kind of time the market in order to buy low, sell high, so you can make money coming and going. But I just want you to be aware of the risk. This isn't a surefire bet. You can be left holding the bag if the people ever wake up and realize the Fed is not going to raise rates. Now, there's one advantage. So I told you the downside. There's an upside. If there is a crash, if the Fed actually raises rates for some reason, and there actually is a broad market crash, you will make so much goddamn money. Like you won't make as much money as someone who shorts the market. That's the ultimate way to make money, but that's also extremely risky. Again, buying bonds is like a poor man shorting the market, but you're going to make like probably up close to double digit returns in like a month just by holding these bonds during a market crash. It's going to be crazy. So if you're worried about a market crash, you could diversify into bonds. But just be aware. And also, like, also one caveat, if you're a passive investor, if you're the type of person who just invests in index funds and so forth, I would recommend diversifying a bit into bonds, probably 70-30, 70% of the S&P, 30% into bonds, because of the volatility in the market right now, where you have the market going up and then bonds going up and the market crashing. Having some exposure to bonds, if you're going to be passive, you're not going to be buying, selling, or trading, having that exposure to bonds will allow you to kind of soften those periods of like those micro crashes and kind of ride that wave a little bit more, little less turbulently upward. I do think like the market has not hit its all-time highs. Especially, again, look at the Weimar Republic. We're going to have inflation. The stock market is one of the best. If you look, let me just look anything up. Look up what to buy during inflation. What you should buy are real assets, stocks, real estate and stocks are your best bet, as well as real assets like precious metals. The problem with precious metals is they're not productive. They don't pay you anything. They just go up. So stocks and real estate are honestly your best bet. If you own no metal, you should have some metal. But if you own 6 months of expenses of metal, honestly, you have enough metal. I don't recommend buying metal as an investment, like trying to time and buy it and sell it to, you know, buying futures contracts. I don't recommend that. I recommend if you want to own gold, instead of buying the physical gold or buying gold futures, you could buy stock in a gold mining company. So things like that. That's because then you're getting dividends and you're getting returns based on the stock as opposed to the appreciation of the metal itself. So that's a better way to. So stocks and real estate are your best friend right now. Now, right now, stocks and real estate are getting hammered because everyone's anticipating a crash. I promise you, this is not going to last. In fact, because the Fed is in their meeting this week and they're going to be making their speeches and doing their thing next week, it's probably going to reverse next week when the Fed comes out and talks about transitory inflation, everyone calm down. In fact, the fact that this is happening now is going to give the Fed another talking point. They'll be able to say, all these people who want to raise interest rates, don't you see how vulnerable the economy is? Have you seen what's happened to all the stock market the last week? You know, things have been going down 10, 15%. We can't have that. Look how vulnerable we are. We're just coming out of recovery. You know, you guys need to calm down. And inflation is a little bit hot. That's okay. You know, would you rather go back into a complete recession with massive unemployment? And like, you don't want to go back to that, do you? So even though inflation is much higher than the 2% we promised, it's still preferable to going back to recession. So everyone just chill the fuck out. We're gonna print $10 trillion more dollars so that Joe Biden can get his stimulus and his infrastructure and welfare expansion through.
And his American jobs plan, his American recovery plan, his American family plan, his American Green New Deal.
The great American hand job.
Yep.
So basically, this is it's priming the pump for people to accept more inflation. Because if the economy was doing great, all people would see were the high inflation, the prices going up. But now that now you can put a little fear in them, make them think, oh shit, the economy might crash. Oh shit, we need the Fed to keep interest rates low because we're still very vulnerable. And so they'll accept inflation as the lesser evil. But once they accept inflation as the lesser evil, once they realize interest rates are not going up, they're going to go running back to inflationary sectors, and they're going to go screaming back to all-time highs. You know, I know people like talking about the OPEC thing. So OPEC had a spat. If you don't know what OPEC is, they're the cartel with Saudi Arabia and other oil producing nations. And the reason why they can't be broken up, even though they're legitimate, a cartel, which is illegal in most places, is because it's the government doing it. So when the government does it, it's okay. So OPEC is a government cartel of oil producing nations who fix the price and fix the supply, all things that are totally illegal for you or I to do. But when governments do it, it's okay. Anyway, there was a spat between Saudi Arabia and the UAE regarding production limits. So OPEC limits the amount of oil different nations can produce to limit the supply to keep prices at a certain level because, you know, basic economics. And now not every country, like when a country can produce more, especially when prices are high, they want to produce more. But then OPEC says, no, you can't. We told you you can only produce this much because we're trying to keep the supply down. And so the UAE was mad at Saudi Arabia, and they were demanding higher production. And so they reached a compromise. They're going to increase production. It's not that much. It's definitely not justifiable to a 15% drop in the oil in a month. But it's, you know, it is more supply. But like, that's not going to matter. You understand? Like, we have inflation isn't going away. In fact, the inflation we've had so far is all based on the stimulus that we already had. So when the government prints a shit ton of money, the government spends the money immediately and the inflation slowly filters out. Like, it doesn't happen all at once. It slowly filters out. But the inflation we're experiencing right now is a result of all the stimulus and all the stimmy checks and the quantitative easing that happened late last year and early this year. But we already have $10 trillion more dollars of stimulus and welfare expansion happening right now, which is going to create more inflation. Inflation is not going down. It's going to get worse because we're continually printing more money, stimulating more economy. I know with the child tax credit starting this month, they started allowing people to get their child tax credit in the form of a welfare check every month, as opposed to a tax write-off once a year. So this is the future. It's going to be more printing, more stimulus, more inflation. And the Fed is trying to play a game where they scare people into thinking they're going to do something about it, but they can't. Or if they may raise rates slightly. And that, like, so I think the next shoe to drop, when the transitory talk falls apart and inflation keeps going up, when the 2% talk falls apart and the rate keeps going higher and they keep moving the goalposts and people start to fear, I think the Fed is just a boy who cried wolf and they're never going to raise rates. They'll eventually have to raise rates, but they're going to raise rates by such a small amount, it will accomplish nothing. If they're talking about raising rates from 0.25 to 0.5 or 0.75, that's nothing. A 0.75 interest rate or a 0.75 federal funds rate when inflation is upwards close to 10% is meaningless. If you want to tame inflation, you got to raise the interest rate above the inflation rate, which they will never do. So you're going, like, inflation, if you look at the 70s, commodities outperformed every other sector. And it wasn't even close. It wasn't like it was kind of like it was neck to neck. No, commodities destroyed every other sector during stagflation. So that is where you want to be in the short to medium term. And frankly, you want to have a plan. I've been advocating this. You need to have some type of plan in your head about what you're going to do with this money to save yourself. You know, just, you know, making a lot of money and becoming a financial TikTok, that's not a plan. You need to take this money that you're being given and you need to do something with it to buy remote property, convert a van or SUV, change countries, change states, buy land, do something with this money. I understand shit costs money and that's why I'm trying to do this for you. But do not just collect the money and then sit on your ass and pretend everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. Things are going to get really bad. Now, I don't know when. Like, again, the Weimar Republic lasted 9 years before it collapsed. Nazi Germany, there was like a 5-year window before things got really bad for the Jews and they had to basically leave with nothing. I don't have an exact timetable about when things are going to get so bad that you're going to wish you got the fuck out of there. I'm giving myself a tentative window of 5 years, but that's not really based on anything other than kind of like, you know, hope. I hope I have 5 years. I hope you have 5 years. If 5 years comes and goes and things haven't gotten terrible, then consider that time found money and use that for what you can. But like, don't just assume everything's going to be fine because things aren't that bad right now, because they can get very bad very quickly. And if you don't own property and you don't have, you're not out of the city and you don't have this shit ready to go. Look, remember the toilet paper panic. If you didn't have extra toilet paper, you weren't going to get some. Like, you just had to, no toilet paper. You had to be wiping your ass. I had to buy a fucking case of flushable wipes because there was just no goddamn toilet paper. But they had these overpriced flushable wipes. And so I bought like a whole fucking case of them because that's all they had. So you don't want to be in this situation. You got to prepare ahead of time before the panic sets in, before people realize how fucked they are, because then it's going to be too late. If you don't own, no one's going to buy your house when the city is going to turn into a death trap. If you're waiting for the city to turn into a death trap to sell your house, who the fuck is going to buy your house? You have to sell your house to someone before the city turns into a death trap, so you can use that money to get the fuck out of there. Just like if you were a Jew in Nazi Germany, you needed to sell your business and your house and convert that to cash so you could take that with you and get the hell out of Germany. If you wait until the night of broken glass to try to sell your house, no one was going to buy it. It's like these white farmers in South Africa. No one wants to buy their farm because they know they're just going to get killed in a few weeks and they'll be able to basically scoop up the farm for free. Why would they buy it from you? So if you wait for shit to get too bad, you're not going to be able to sell anything. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're going to be trapped. So that's all I had to say. Hopefully this alleviated some of your fears, because some people – also, like, if you're the type of person who gets emotional, you need to just not turn on the news sometimes. Because if you don't have the stomach to – and honestly, this is where knowledge is power – understanding what's going on behind the scenes and understanding what the government and the feds plan is going to be very powerful in kind of calming you down. It's like, you know, like what the Joker said, as long as it's all part of the plan, as long as no matter what horrible shit happens, as long as it's all part of the plan, no one panics. So you shouldn't be panicking. Like, the Joker was right. Just understand this is all part of the plan. They're trying to cause inflation. They're trying to bluff so that people don't realize it's a boy who cried wolf, so that they run to bonds and keep the bond yields low. Now, ultimately, this won't work. Let me tell you how this will fail. I'll give you a spoiler alert. Ultimately, this is going to fail because when the Fed – so the Fed right now is printing money, causing inflation, getting people scared about rate hikes to get them to run to bonds, and then using the reverse repo to pull the money out of the banking system. That is going to cause a liquidity crisis in the banking system where people can't get loans anymore. Even if interest rates are low, there won't be any cash to loan people, and people won't be able to get loans. And they'll see asset prices skyrocketing. They won't be able to afford things like housing. You see this happening in like places like Canada, where you have crack houses that are worth $1 million. And everyone's waiting for the housing market, the housing bubble to pop, and it's not popping because it's inflation. Anyway, so what's going to happen eventually? Eventually, when the asset inflation gets bad, and particularly in housing, the same retarded people who caused the very problem for demanding free shit and rioting whenever the government tried to raise their taxes or cut spending, they will cry to the government and they will say, nationalize the mortgage industry.
100%.
Because they can't afford a house, and they'll blame capitalism and the greedy banks and the evil hedgies and the evil rich people. It's all their fault. So we need to nationalize the mortgage industry, and we need to make housing a right. And so we already did this. If you think that'll never happen, we already did it with student loans. And the problem with nationalizing mortgages is now you can never get out of the mortgage. Because the reason why you can't get out of student loans is because you owe the government money. Like, you have no collateral. They can't take your college degree away. So they basically make it to where you can never get out of the loan because it's to the government. Once mortgages are nationalized, you're going to owe the government your soul. And you'll never be able to get out of it. You won't be able to, like, you know, turn your pockets inside out, go to bankruptcy court and get out of it. No, you're fucked. the government's going to fucking own your shit. So now what you were talking earlier about how, what, you know, Venezuela, this is how it happens. So once we nationalize everything, the people are going to expect the government to basically turn the spigots on and just shower them with free stuff. After all, if the government runs it, it's free. Except that's not how anything works. When you get rid of the price system, you don't make it infinite. You have to replace the pricing rationing mechanism with a different rationing mechanism. But the people won't accept that because it's going to end like Venezuela eventually. Like the and it's going to be the people's fault. Like as much as what Jerome Powell's a smart guy, what Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen, not Joe Biden, he doesn't even know what day of the week it is, but the people in his cabinet, they're doing their level best to try to square this circle and try to thread this needle, trying to retire the debt while avoiding hyperinflation, which is extremely difficult. But at the end of the day, it won't amount to anything because the people will cry to the government and demand that they fuck everything up and cause inflation anyway, because give me free shit. And so the government will have two options. Now, this is where things get very interesting. When the people demand free shit, and they will destroy the system if you give it to them, the government has to basically take total power, suspend democracy, and enslave people. Because if they don't, you're going to have a French Revolution-style collapse where they storm the Bastille, kill the politicians, and then everything goes to shit anyway. So the politicians don't want to die. And they know that if there's hyperinflation and a mass – like look what's happening in Venezuela. They killed their political opposition, and the people are still rebelling against them. The people who supported them are now trying to overthrow them because they're suffering. And so the government – they don't care that it's their fault. Who voted for fucking – all this shit, the people, the very people who are now trying to overthrow the government are the people who are championing the free shit that was showered upon them by Hugo Chavez and Maduro until the fucking money ran out. So fuck all these people. The point is the people in power, they don't want to die. They don't want the Bastille to be stormed and have their heads cut off. So given the choice that either path results in the collapse of the country, either they have a French Revolution, you know, massive red terror followed by a collapse, followed by a Napoleon dictatorship, or they just seize the power themselves. They just say, fuck your democracy. We're in charge now, which that's ultimately where a lot of this is headed. Like, why are they pushing the common cold as like the worst thing ever and trying to lock people down in their homes, censor that? Why are they trying to become the CCP? It's because they need that kind of power to effectively. Like, China has elections, but they don't mean anything. So democracy doesn't really exist in China. So the government can effectively ignore the people and oppress the shit out of them. Anyone talking about doing anything about the government gets shut down. There's massive surveillance. They fucking arrest you and survey you, and they have everybody spying on everyone. That's what the government's going to have to do. It's the people's fault because the government is doing what the people put them to do. The people wanted free shit and they wanted the impossible. And it's like the people are saying, we're going to elect you to give us the impossible. And if you fail, we're going to kill you. Here's all the power. Now do what we say, or we're going to kill you. Well, they just gave you all this power. So what are you going to do? You're going to enslave them because you don't want to die. And you can't do what they elected you to do because it's impossible. It's economically impossible. So at the end of the day, like, I don't even feel bad for the people when they're like enslaved and starving. It's like, yeah, you fucking deserve it. Hope all the free shit was worth it, you dumb retard. I just don't want to be around when it happens. So that's kind of like that's my plan. But yeah, like, and the thing is, I've talked to people who either were from China during the Cultural Revolution or like HD, you know, he's immigrated from China. It's not bad if you like avoid certain things and stay away from the cities and so forth. It's not good either. Like, it's going to be bad. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but it's survivable if you're not a complete and utter fucking retard. And that's frankly my only goal at this point. I'm trying to keep everyone alive. Those of you who believe in freedom and who support the values of freedom and liberty, I want you to live. And so I'm trying to give you all the tools I can and kind of keep you abreast of what I think is coming so that you can prepare for it. And if, as long as we don't die, because the casualties on the progressive/communist side are going to be catastrophic. And they're also going to kill the absolutists because they're the political opposition. Again, look at Venezuela, look at Stalin, look at everyone. Once the left has total power, they always liquidate the right because they're a threat. So they'll liquidate the right, they'll have total power, and they'll start killing each other and starving to death. And all we have to do is get the fuck out and just disappear like fucking ghosts. Just ghost the fuck out and let the commies kill the absolutists and starve to death and eat themselves. And we just fucking chill. And then eventually what will happen is the people, the very progressives and communists, will then turn against their own government, just like what's happening in Venezuela or Cuba. Like it's how it works. Once the suffering is ratcheted up, the people will have enough of it. And then we can assess the situation. Is it time for us to activate the Terminator waifu army and basically like initiate Operation Purge Day? Or do we just like let this shit play out, or what do we do? I don't know. It's one of those, we'll cross that bridge when we get there kind of things. But you know, right now we're just trying not to die. And I understand plans cost money, so I'm trying to help you make money. But take this seriously, because we're coming up on where all the bills are going to come due, and all the Fed can do is print money. It can't print oil. It can't print gold. It can't make products and services and productivity. It can only print pieces of paper and digital currency. And that's just going to lead to hyperinflation. Even though it won't default on its bonds, it'll just cause hyperinflation. So that's what we need to prepare for. That's what we need to be aware of is coming, because it's the only way this ends. The only other way it ends is if people lose their rights. If the government basically suspends democracy and goes full CCP, then the government can just ignore the people and just cut off their welfare, and then the government won't collapse. Now, whether you consider that a good thing or not, like if the government has to go full CCP to keep itself from collapsing, effectively enslaving the people, is that a win or a lose? Is that the worst possible thing, or is that the best possible thing? Honestly, if you think about the French Revolution, like which one is good or bad? Like it's really basically different types of awful. Whether the government has to go full totalitarian to protect the people from themselves, or whether there's a full-on like purge of the elite, followed by a massive red terror, followed by some kind of dictatorial regime like Napoleon or Hitler, that's probably just as bad, if not worse. Because the problem is, if you get a Napoleon or a Hitler rising to power in the aftermath, they need to find a scapegoat. You need to point to some group and be like, it's their fault all these bad things happen. It's not our fault. No, we didn't just want free shit. No, it's we're the good guys. It's them, let's kill them. And so what if you're in that group? What if you're in the group that gets scapegoated as the fall guy for what the people did to themselves? And now you're being hunted to the ends of the earth, and you know, like...
And if you're white, yep, you're in that group already.
Yeah, or even if you're not white, like you could be mixed, you could be look black. Like, let's say you're like a mulatto or something, they could decide that you're white enough. Like, I know, like, black people really hate fair skinned black people because they're considered attractive and they don't have gorilla face, and so you know, there's that. Like, there's it never ends. When it comes to progressives and communists, they're driven entirely by envy and resentment. And there's never a point where they'll stop. They'll just find new groups to be envious and resentful towards. If they have the ability to kill or enslave you, they absolutely will. So you either have to resist them violently, or you have to basically be in a place where they won't follow you, either because they don't know you're there, or they don't think you have anything worth taking, or they don't like the weather and they don't want to come get you. Something along those lines. So communists are really lazy. That's their weakness. It's like their kryptonite. Communists are fucking lazy. So if you just make it a little bit harder for them to come, make it more trouble than it's worth to come get you, they'll leave you alone because they're fucking lazy. So that's the one weakness they have that you can exploit is their laziness.
But just make it that little bit harder for them to come after you. Make it a little bit too far for them to want to travel to get you.
Right. It's like you ever have a thing where like the remote is on the other side of the room, and rather than just getting up and turning off the TV, or rather than getting up and getting the remote, you just kind of leave the TV on all night. sleep through it because you're too lazy to get up and do either one of those things.
So I remember doing that in the past, but now I have my remote on my phone. So I still always have the option of turning it off.
Oh, well, I'm just that's communism in a nutshell. They're fucking lazy. And now here's the thing. Before you any accelerationists out there that want to give everyone a helicopter ride, you have to understand that's the majority of the American people. We're talking a very vast majority of the American people agree with these values and are fucking lazy. The good news is, though, it's not hopeless. If you look at Cubans, even Venezuelans, people who suffered under communism, they become very cogent of the value of freedom after they suffered under communism. So, in fact, Karoy, he was saying a while ago that when he first kind of started listening to me, he was like a Bernie bro. But then he heard my economic arguments, did his own homework. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is bullshit. So people, they don't know what they don't know. It's not like they teach economics in school. And a lot of economics is unintuitive. So you can't blame people for being fooled for believing everyone. You know, when their parents are espousing communism, the schools are espousing communism, the media is espousing communism. Can you really blame them for thinking communism is good and proper when it's all they've ever heard? You know, like, not everybody has the intellectual curiosity to question what everybody is telling them constantly. Like, most people just accept what they're told unless they have some type of proof that what they're being told is bullshit. Like, for example, when I was a kid, when I was being raised by my grandma, she was giving me like old fashioned advice about how to, cause I was pubescent. I was virile. I wanted to get a girlfriend. And so my grandma was giving me like old timey folksy advice that from her generation, about how to woo a woman. And clearly that didn't work, but I recognized it didn't work fairly quickly, because I paid attention to reality. But I can't blame my grandma for giving me bad advice because it worked in her generation and she just doesn't know. And the same thing when it comes to people who espouse leftism, they may not be complete brain dead retards. They may just not know because they've never experienced anything that would cause them to question stuff. It's like when you tell a guy, when you try to red pill a guy, the reason why there's the whole like who hurt you is a thing is because most guys are basically conditioned to be gynocentric. The only guys who snap out of it are guys who've actually been through something that woke them up that this is bullshit. Usually some traumatic event. They were cheated on, they were divorced, something horrible happened. If that horrible thing didn't happen, if they never suffered that abuse and trauma, they would have no reason to question the gynocentric conditioning they were given. So it's one of those things where the trauma of living through communism actually tends to red pill a lot of people, not everyone. There's some people who live through communism, suffer under communism, and then they pine for it later in life. Like, oh, I know, I miss communism because I didn't have to think and I ate potatoes. And I was somebody. I had a potato farm. People used to call me the richest man in Babylon. So it's like, okay. But there are a lot of people, like the biggest people who are anti-communist are either directly immigrants from, or they have family who immigrated from former communist countries. That's not a coincidence that the people who are the most red-pilled against communism came from communism. So I wouldn't be like, we got to purge them all and take out the survivors once the left, fractures and disintegrates, because a lot of those people who suffered under communism are probably going to be pretty based and red-pilled at that point because of the suffering they experienced. So in the long run, you got to look at it as like, this is a natural cycle. It's like the whole, hard times create strong men thing. So I'm fine just letting the cycle work itself out because the strong men will emerge from the hard times. You don't need to, you don't need to go out and purging the weak. Nature will take care of that. Just be an example, because when the people are fleeing from communism, if you have some alternative, they're going to be attracted to that. So you don't, as much as I joke about Terminator waifus and Purge Day, it probably won't even really be necessary. You just have to have the alternative there to, it's not a coincidence that the people in Cuba are holding up American flags and chanting freedom. It's not a coincidence that people in Hong Kong were holding up American flags and chanting freedom. Like, the American flag was the symbol of freedom. It's not anymore, but it was. So like that's the power of a symbol. That's the power of an alternative. When people are suffering under whether it's Chinese communism or whether it's Cuban communism, they believe in America. Like HD was saying, when his family immigrated to America, they thought America was going to be this land of freedom and opportunity. And they got here and they realized, oh, it's like China. The hell. But they, you know, they believe the propaganda, I suppose. They watched like the old movies and they thought they were true. Anyway, I'm like rambling at this point. We could probably either talk about something else or go to bed.
No, it's time to call it quits for the night. I've had a really, really, really rough weekend and day. So, but no, I you know what? I would have chimed in if I had something to say, man. That was fucking really interesting because I don't give enough thought to the stock market anymore. So it was interesting to hear.
Well, I do want to say, so someone asked me like, how long have I been doing this? So I've been doing this a while, but the difference is prior to Joe Biden's inauguration, I wasn't this active. I was more like, I compare it to the difference between a farmer and a weatherman. So a farmer, he knows the general seasons. He knows like when he should plant, when he should harvest, but it's more general. He doesn't pay attention to the day-to-day weather. He doesn't care if it's going to rain on Thursday or Tuesday. He knows it's going to rain because it's spring. He knows it's going to be hot because it's summer. And knowing the general seasons, he can basically plan accordingly. And that's how farmers work. Then you have weathermen who have to pay attention to the weather every single day, and they have to make predictions and 5-day forecasts and everything. So because we're basically, because time is short, I've transitioned slightly from a farmer to a weatherman, but I've been involved in investing for years and years. So I know what I'm doing. I'm learning a little bit about like I don't do technical analysis or day trading. I still stick to what I know, which is fundamental analysis and macroeconomic trends. The only difference is I'm a lot more involved in like the day-to-day stuff. Like I pay attention to the markets on a daily basis, what's going up, what's going down, what's in the news. Not because I'm trying to time anything, but like I'm trying to see what I can do. Now, prior to this big commodities crash, I was up 25% year to date, which is like what double what the S&P was. So I was doing really well. Like right now, I'm probably down. I'm not down. This is probably the first month I've lost money, though. Like I've lost money from the previous month, which has never happened this whole year, which is kind of pissing me off. But it's going to come back. There's just no way that commodities stay low during inflation. Like it makes no, like it's just basic economics. There's no, because the Fed can't print oil or gold or steel or copper. The other thing, copper, like the reason why copper was so expensive, because of EVs. People are talking about electronic vehicles being the future. Well, electronic vehicles use a shit ton of copper, because I don't know if you know how electricity is made. It's basically magnets and copper. That's how that works. That's why a lot of wiring is copper. Copper is very important to electricity. So yeah, it's going to come back. I promise you it's going to come back. It's going to come back in a big way. I don't know when though. Like I'm predicting this week is going to be somewhat flat. I don't think it's going to go too much lower, because it's really already reached a level of irrationality. But I wouldn't expect a rally this week, because the Fed hasn't released their meeting yet. When the Fed comes out next week and talks about how inflation is transitory and everything's fine, go back to work, then you're going to see the rally, which is exactly what happened last month. There was a big crash because the Fed, people worried about inflation and rate hikes. And then the following Monday, there's a huge rally and everything was hitting all-time highs by the end of the week. So if you're not in commodities, realize right now energy is down 15% on the month, and it was like it's going to come back. There's just no way it's not coming back. In fact, there's a lot of oil production ramping up because of the price of oil and the high demand. And people are saying, oh, it's because of low demand, because of India, because of COVID, the Delta variant. If you look up the COVID cases in India, the Delta variant epidemic is already over. It's already over. It ended like a couple weeks ago. It's over. So anyone talking about the Delta variant in India causing like lower than expected oil production, they don't know what they're talking about. Like They're probably looking at month-old data, but the actual COVID Delta variant outbreak in India, which again, the Delta variant, if you didn't know, is just a common cold. It's less deadly than normal COVID, which already had a 99.9% mortality rate or recovery rate. I'm sorry. If it was 99.9% mortality, that would be horrible. But no, it's basically 0.01% mortality. And that was original, like vanilla COVID. The Delta variant, it's more transmissible, but it's even less deadly. It's basically the common cold. There's just no other way to put it. The only people dying from it are in their 80s. And the funny thing is the vaccine does nothing. Because if you're old, like old people die of the common cold all the time. That's just, you know, you got to die of something. So yep. It's like, oh my God, the Delta variant is so deadly. It gets 90-year-olds with the compromised immune systems. I thought the vaccine would have helped. It's like they're 90 and they have no immune system. They're going to die. Like that's... Eventually, you're not gonna like fucking become a lich. You're gonna have to embrace mortality at some point. Like you can't live forever. So, but it's what. The Fed does not want to crash the market. They do not want to cause. If they wanted to crash the market, if they wanted to cause lockdowns, if they wanted to do, they would have done it already. We've already had the Delta variant in America. There was a big outbreak in California last month, and no one talked about it. There was a little bit of a scare, but then it went away. No one cared. So the government has, if it was the government's plan to cause lockdowns and cause panics and cause recession, they would have done it already. They had everything in front of them. They're not going to because Orange Man is not in office anymore. There's no they gain nothing. Like someone was telling me, oh, they could use it as an excuse to take more power. What power do they not have? What is the big source of power that the right has that the left needs, and they're going to shut down the economy and cause a lockdown to seize that power? There's nothing. The left has all the power. When you have all the power, there's nothing to, like the only thing. And the idea is, oh, they're going to cause lockdowns. They wouldn't gain anything. They gain nothing by causing lockdowns and shutting down their own economy. They're already going to print. The only thing they could do, you could say, well, it would give justification for further stimulus and more spending. They're already doing that.
Yeah, it's not like they've stopped the stimulus and spending.
They don't need to cause a lockdown and a panic to get people to accept their spending plans or their amnesty plans. They're going to do it all anyway. Now, maybe the Democrats are going to keep that in their back pocket, like in case there's resistance from the American people. Maybe they could announce a new wave of lockdowns and sanctions and whatever. They could do that against the American people, but against the actual establishment in Washington, they have all the power. So there's nothing like they're not going to crash the market. They're not going to crash the market. They're not going to raise interest rates. Commodities are going to fucking, I'm not going to say to the moon because that's such a fucking worn out phrase. I just never want to hear that shit again. It's like a catchphrase that's been completely fucking worn out. It's like people used to remember Gangnam Style when it was just everywhere and you just got fucking sick of hearing it and sick of seeing it. That's how I feel about the to the moon catchphrase. It's just, it's like fucking Gangnam Style. But commodities are going to go up because of inflation and because of basic fucking economics. So right now, oil is at a 15%, like it's gone 15% down in a month. Do you think oil is worth 15% less than it was a month ago? I don't. Inflation doesn't. If we have the worst inflation in 30 years and oil went down 15%. If you can't explain that, then you should be buying oil right now. Now I'm not saying it's going to go up tomorrow. I'm not going to say it's going to go up, you know, this week. But after the Fed gives its little speech, and after people realize they're not going to raise interest rates and the crash isn't happening, they're going to be looking at these bonds. Like imagine, so the Fed announces they're not raising interest rates. There's not going to be a crash. The crash is canceled, and you're looking at all these bonds you have paying 1%. What are you going to do? You're going to sell those bonds. You're going to buy stocks because there's not – the crash has been canceled. And now all these stocks are going to be trading – like these sectors that are down 10, 15%. And you've basically been buying these bonds that are paying a 1% yield. It's going to be – there's going to be such a massive swing. But this is going to probably, this might happen month after month. This may happen in August. This may happen in September. I don't know. It'll keep happening until one of two things are true. Either the American people realize this is a boy who cried wolf, and then anyone who buys the bonds is going to be left holding the bag, which is going to be bad. Or inflation magically becomes transitory. Somehow, some way, perhaps through the reverse repo. Now, and I look, some prices are going to go down. Some prices are going to go down. A lot of prices are going to go up, especially the more money we print, the more stimulus we pass. The money, because it's going to keep going up. But the people are going to latch on to certain things going down, like used cars. Eventually, used cars will go down. There's like a semiconductor shortage. When that gets hammered out, used cars will go down as the supply of cars goes up. Obviously, lumber went down. So certain things will go down. But they're going to go down from like insane highs. We're talking like used cars are up 50%+ on the year. And then, you know, lumber was up 200%. So we're talking like 10% inflation. So if you have something that appreciates over 10%, it's probably going to come down. But it's not going to come down to negative, you know, inflation where it's becoming cheaper than it was before. It's going to go from plus 200% to plus 10% or plus 20%, something more reasonable, something more within the bounds of normal inflation, because we don't have 200% inflation. If we had 200% inflation, we'd be Venezuela. So we're going to have moderate double-digit inflation or somewhere close to, and it's going to take years before things really start going completely tits up like the Weimar Republic. So just, you know, that's all. I'm rambling. I'm sorry. You got to go to bed. I should shut up.
No, man, this has been really fun. I do appreciate it. And next week I have a whole bunch of stuff I'm preparing to. So it'll be all good.
All right.
And we're going to do Thursday night. The morning constitutional will be Thursday night again. Hopefully TFM's internet will, you know, invest in the bond market.
You know, someday. You would think, you know, realistically, you'd think with cheap interest rates, these companies would be with buying up shit to expand their infrastructure.
But no.
You would think. No, they're not. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're not buying. They're not improving the infrastructure. That I can tell you that for goddamn sure.
Right.
So maybe Joe Biden's infrastructure plan will cause these ISPs to lay down some fucking wire that works.
I say we promote it. The Great American TFM's internet plan. Great American Morning Constitutional Plan.
Make ISPs work again.
Okay, guys, thanks for tuning in and have a great night. Bye-bye.
Take care.
My fellow Americans, tonight I am speaking to you because there is a growing humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border.
In all honesty, a border wall or steel slats won't work. But great bodies of water will separate us from the horrible Mexican rapists. Introducing the 2019 Trump Great Border Moat, stocked with the most aggressive penis fish, incredible man-eating alligators, and unbelievable genetically modified moose-cocked rape dolphins, as well as flying migrant-eating shark fish. So incredible.
I swore to protect our country, and that is what I will always do. So help me God. Thank you and good night.